How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, welcome to it. 7:18 here on a Friday morning. The weekend is here with Sports Radio, TSN 1200. It is JR. It's Steve Lloyd and Sean Simpson, who returns from holiday on Monday alongside Hammer. We've got Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey insider, standing by. I believe Dave is doing the Hawks-Habs game this afternoon, so I believe we're going to be talking to Dave from Chicago in an hour from now. And after 9 o'clock, Drew Becky will be by. We'll talk some World Cup soccer with Drew and, of course, set up Canada's next match. Pretty much, well, it's not a must win. It's a must not lose. It's a must not lose on Sunday versus Croatia. Drew Becky, captain of Atletico Ottawa, gave us some great insight before the first Canadian match. He'll rejoin us again later on this morning. And then after 10 o'clock our time, early out on the West Coast, it's Gord Wilson as our TSN and Sens insider to join us and set up Sens and Ducks 3 o'clock face-off this afternoon, 1 o'clock pregame show on TSN 1200. Okay, Steve Lloyd, we got to do it. We got to wrap up the first match of the day at the World Cup. Are Wales and Canada equal, or is Canada your favorite in terms of?
Oh, no. Okay. I'm Canada.
Okay. All right.
Hey,
so
come on.
Wales is your heritage, so they're your sub-favorite.
Yes.
And they were taking on, of course, got a draw in their first match against the United States. That was good. Got a late penalty kick goal from Gareth Bales, their big star. So today they took on Iran, which got absolutely waxed by England in their first game, 6-2. Game is 0-0. Late in regulation, the Welsh keeper comes studs up to knock the ball away and gets red carded. So Wales is a man short. They've got the backup keeper in. And let's take you to stoppage time, late in stoppage time. Still 0-0 with Iran.
Out to Ansari Fan, who attacks left-hand side. There's a little step over. And the cutback swept away from Joe Allen. Comes out towards Carini. Carini with a low right-footed shot. Finds the bottom right-hand corner. Chesney from distance.
98th minute. Oh. Eighth minute of stoppage time for what would be the game winner for Iran, and they would actually add another one as Wales are like, well, we got to push everybody forward now. They actually added a second, and so Iran wins it 2-0. So AJ was at the match this morning because he tweeted out a picture, and he was sitting among the Welsh people, and unfortunately, it looked like they were on the sunny side of the stadium. Now, Welsh people, and Lloyd, you can maybe back this up a little bit, kind of like Dutchmen.
Yeah.
Not strong sun people. They tend to be very white. I'm thinking not only a lot of the Welsh supporters who were at the match this morning walk away with a stunning defeat late in injury time, but then with a sunburn as well. Like, it's the double whammy today for Wales, unfortunately.
But in the pictures that I've seen, both from AJ and others, showing the Welsh pride in the stands there, JR. A lot of them are smart. They're wearing the bucket hats.
Well, we got a hat, yes.
But it's not a cap. It's the bucket hat to get proper coverage. But you're right, and I'll just speak for myself. The other side of my family is Irish. No. So I'm Welsh Irish. Like, I am Whitey Whiterton is what I am. Like, it's
wow.
Just,
Whitey Whiterton.
Yeah,
I
don't tan. I burn.
Yeah, okay.
Pretty much.
Yeah, your base is five burns.
Yeah, it's pretty much it.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Anyway, all right, so there you go. There's your first match of the day in the books. Iran with a big win. And, of course, those two teams are in the same group as England and the U.S., and those two teams play today. That's actually a must-watch. Hugely hyped going in. England can actually clinch a spot in the knockout stage if they can beat the United States today. And U.S. for a bunch of different reasons. Well, they definitely want to get a result, as they say, but a win over England would be huge for them as well. So that's 2 o'clock this afternoon for England and the United States. That's the fourth and final match of the day. Coming up in less than an hour, it's Qatar and Senegal. They both lost their first matches. They're in the same group as the Netherlands and Ecuador, who will play at 11. They both won their opening matches, and we'll have that Dutchie game for you coming up after 11. I got my orange on. My undershirt on, so I'm ready to go.
Okay.
And that's enough to bring them luck? enough for the Dutch to bring victory is that JR's got the orange on.
Just a little bit.
And that's all that needs to
happen. I'm not overstating it, okay? Just a little quiet.
It's really kind of, you're hiding it a little bit, now, I'll be honest.
I was looking through the collection last night. I got a couple, but the others are jerseys. I'm not going to wear a jersey to work.
They're never comfortable either.
No, exactly. And it's the old one. They're like hockey teams, like third jerseys. They change them.
So it doesn't fit either.
No, it's not that it does. No, it fits fine. It's just not the kit, as they call it, that they're wearing this time around.
And you know what?
Tight fit.
On the nameplate, it probably says J-Dog or something like that as well. Right?
Exactly.
He's one of those guys.
Number 69.
I'm going to put my self-gloss nickname on my...
69 J-Dog. Yeah, that's what I got on my Dutch jersey. Canada, of course, will play Croatia 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. TSN announced yesterday the ratings for Game 1, which was, as we know, was played in the middle of the afternoon on... it was Wednesday, right? It was 2 days ago? Yes, Wednesday. And a total of 3.7 million Canadians watched that soccer game in the middle of the afternoon on Sunday. So to give you some context, that is, in terms of sports, that's the second highest rated game that's been on Canadian television this year. The only thing that drew more eyeballs was the Super Bowl. Super Bowl was number one. The Canadian soccer game versus Belgium is now number two at 3.7 million. And they're saying, just based on that, but more so the fact that the next game on Sunday is obviously on a weekend when there's a lot more people available because they're not at work or otherwise predisposed, or maybe go to the early mass so you're home for 11, you can manipulate your schedule a little bit, even if you're a churchgoer. That will be a monster number. And, of course, it's a huge game. Canada needs to get at least a draw, but a win would put them in a position absolutely to move on. So it's a huge game. It's lots of hype. You'd have to be under a rock to not realize what's going on with Canada and soccer right now. So that's going to be a huge, huge number coming up for Canada-Croatia on Sunday morning.
Do we know the ratings for the three-hour pregame show?
Do not know that.
Hour by hour?
I don't know
by
that.
By hour?
No. To give you some also some context.
What was the average audience? Sorry, JR. What was it?
3.7 million.
3.7.
Yeah.
All right. You might be going next where I was about to go. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I have some. I give you the context. Second highest rated of anything. So football was number NFL Super Bowl championship game was number one in Canada in all of 2022 so far. Number two now this soccer game, right? Both ahead of hockey, which may or may not surprise people. Now, if there was a Canadian team, right, that had gone a long way in the Stanley Cup playoffs, then potentially that, especially if it's the Leafs and or the Habs, right? I think that number is probably fairly big at that point. But as we know, that didn't happen. Edmonton, I guess, made it to the conference final, right? But that was four games and out. That was never really. And you'll find with television ratings, if the longer the series goes, stands to reason, right? More drama. The longer a series goes, the higher the number gets, right? People kind of, that's when your bandwagon fans jump on. Oh, it's a game seven? I'm in, right? If it's a game four and it's going to be a sweep, there's a lot of people that are either on the fence or whatever that don't really watch. So, all right, here's the context in terms of other highly rated Canadian sports events on TV. So the Raptors, when they won the NBA championship, a couple of years ago, 2019, 7.2 million people watched that game in Canada. Again, the soccer was 3.7 million. When the Blue Jays went to the ALCS in 2015, the first time.
Is that the Royals?
Yep, 5.1 million for the Blue Jays. Leafs and Bruins, Game 7, 2019. That was the first round of the playoffs. This goes to show you, as much as if you're not a Leaf fan, and it drives you crazy how much the Leafs are on TV and how much coverage they get. It's because there's a lot of Leaf fans. Game 7, round 1, Leafs and Bruins, 3.6 million in 2019. these numbers are dwarfed by the biggest sports event ever in terms of number of people watching in Canadian sports television history. You guys want to guess at what the event was? Most watched Canadian event in terms of numbers ever. Actually, gold I shouldn't medal. Say that. I don't know about 72. I'm not thinking in 72. Yeah,
gold
go ahead.
Gold medal 2010?
2010 gold medal game, Canada versus the United States. Want to take a guess at the audience, measured audience for that?
Oh, again, I think we're going eight figures.
Yeah, 3.7 million for the soccer game the other day. 7 million for the Raptors, 7.2 million for the Raptors when they won the NBA championship.
I'll go 12 million.
12 million? Okay. Good guess. You want to take showcase showdown strategy here, Lloydy?
I'll take 12 million and one.
Congratulations. You're going to the final. Yeah. Yes. Here's Barker's Beauties to tell you what you've won. But not even close. 16.7 million Canadians.
I beat Hammer. That's all that mattered.
Right? That was the average audience. So this is a measurement of average audience. They're actually at peaks at higher than that. But in terms of the average audience, for the 2010 Olympic men's gold medal hockey game, 16.7 million people watched. That may never be broken, quite frankly.
We kind of had this conversation a bit earlier in the week when it comes to ratings. We were talking about Grey Cup, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some of those numbers are really impressive. The Blue Jays number and the Raptors number, because I can't remember. The Raptors were only on, air quotes, cable, right? It wasn't on, like, over-the-air network TV available to want it all that way, right?
Yes, yeah.
So to pull in that kind of number just for cable, that's incredible when you think about it as well. Whereas, I think it's always important. And the other thing is we can't, maybe you've probably looked into this more than I have, JR, but quantifying streaming is tough, is not, right? About how, there's two things. How do you quantify streaming, right? To try to come with that magic number that way. And the other thing is, and I don't know, the pandemic certainly the last few years put a hit into this, but how many people are congregating and watching at bars and big parties and what have you.
That's the hard one to quantify. Like streaming, you can put a number on it. They can, you know, you can count the number of connections that are made.
Legal streaming.
Yes. Oh, yes. That's the caveat and all that. Yeah. Legal streaming. But the out-of-home watching, people that go to, as you said, congregating in one home or going to a bar or whatever, that's the harder one to quantify. But anyway, there you go. So that Canada-Croatia game, I think, is going to be big.
Yeah, oh, huge. Yeah. Well, it's perfect. You're right. It's a perfect time, really. It's a late Sunday morning, right? I that's going to get a lot of eyeballs. Absolutely.
Well, where do you think it'll land? Will it be more than the Jays in the playoffs? Will it get past the Raptors and 7 million?
I don't think it'll get that high because we're still at the group stage, right?
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be between those two, though. Yeah. I think it'll be more than the Jays.
But every one of these games, it's like a playoff game. It's not a championship game, but it's like a playoff game. It's do or die. Mm-hmm. Future of the team, future of the tournament it's there with win, tie, or loss.
Did you guys see, I actually retweeted Carlo Koliakovo this morning because he had it in his timeline. Did you see the tabloid in Croatia from what John Herdman had to say that we're going to Croatia and how that's made the rounds? My goodness. It's a naked John Herdman with a maple leaf over his regions. Front page of the paper in Croatia.
Right.
From what he had to say. So, oh, man. That'll be interesting. See how this plays out.
So, John Herdman, what is he, walking back what he had to say? Let's hear what John Herdman had to say on. Now, of course, just to reiterate to everybody what he said, was in the heat of the moment right after his team had lost a close game to Belgium the other day and said, I'm proud of my team or whatever, and we're gonna F Croatia. Said that in the heat of the moment. Here's John Herdman, sober second thought.
You say those things in an impassioned moment, trying to inspire your team in a huddle. And when you're asked the question, what you said in that huddle, it was what I said. And it's not massively respectful to Croatian people and the Croatian national team. I understand very well where they're at on the world stage. But in that moment, you know, you're taking your men to that next place. You're taking your team to that next place that we're here to be fearless.
There you go. I think part of what, and all of what he said, spot on, right?
And yep. I think, you know, what we talked Drew Becky the other day about it, and his sister Janine played in the national team for John Herdman. What makes John Herdman a great coach is that he connects with players. He's authentic, right? So in that moment, after they've lost a close game, and we all saw the picture of or the video of him, and the players are all gathered in a circle in the middle of the pitch, and he's in the middle, and he's you could see him, he's like doing the thing with the arms, and he's yelling or whatever, and he's authentic in that he said that, and you would understand how the players in that moment would absolutely eat that up, right? That is the absolute. Now, did he take it too far? Especially if you're of Croatian heritage. Probably did. To admit that that's what he said, you know, he threw himself on the grenade a little bit. But again, yeah. In the heat of the moment, he was authentic and he was real and he was truthful. And now he's taking the other side of it. And it's understandable if we were Croatia and if we're on morning show radio in Croatia right now. Good morning. It's the capital of Croatia. Don't remember right now. If we were on. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Sure. If we were doing morning radio, we'd be all over that comment. But you understand, as an athlete that plays for him, or as a passionate Canadian sports fan, why people eat up what John Herdman gives out.
I like the fact that he didn't walk it back. It's like, I said it, but here's the clarification, and he's stating the obvious. Of course, he does not mean that literally. It's not disparaging the people of Croatia, but of course. I can understand why that would play big because if the shoe was on the other foot, you're right. We'd be talking that up here in Canada. So anyways, it's lots of bulletin board material, but at the end of it, like, does that really matter? Right. I think that's more of a media thing, bulletin board material kind of stuff. Now if the Croatian coach can use this and this is what they're saying about us, right. We've seen coaches do that time and time again. Like the whole 2002 Salt Lake City, nobody stepped on the flag, right? Nobody did. That was a fabrication. But
totally made up by Haley Wickenheiser.
That was used though ahead of time to try to let's add a little more motivation here. Croatia is still the favorite country to win on Sunday, though. Do you really? Is that what you're doing? You're playing a team that is below you in the rankings. That's an upset still if Canada beats you. I don't know how much that works in this scenario.
Well, I guess we'll find out, right? On Sunday morning? Mm-hmm. Anyway, just an interesting subtext this story and to this game that's coming up on Sunday. Canada-Croatia will have the match for you as well here on TSN 1200. If you can't get in front of a television, 10 o'clock pregame and 11 o'clock kickoff for match 2 for Canada. All right, 7:36. When we come back, it's match 20 for the Sens of 82. And I know we've said this a lot, and we've had some fun with Bedard Bowl and Basement Bowl and whatever you want to call today's Sens Anaheim game. Bigger picture, and bigger by bigger picture, we're talking the two games this weekend. Feels like this is, in terms of DJ Smith, as coach of the Ottawa Senators, it does feel like a big weekend. Come back, we'll chat about that, get you the latest on the lineup as the Sens will take on the Ducks this afternoon at 3 o'clock right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Monday, one World Cup game in the books already. Iran beat Wales, 2 goals in stoppage time, 2-0. Coming up 8 o'clock, it's Qatar, the host country, and Senegal. 11 o'clock, Ecuador and the Dutchies. 2 o'clock this afternoon, match of the day, England-US. Canada will play Croatia Sunday morning at 11. Drew Becky, captain of Atletico Ottawa, will join us to preview that match coming up later on this morning on the show. Gord Wilson will join us live from Anaheim, where the Sens and Ducks will play this afternoon. Gord will join us after 10. We're on with you until 11 o'clock this morning. It is also, because it's Friday, a wrench-throwing Friday, and a rare to-the-phones wrench this morning, where our friend 545 Mike joins us at 7:44. Mike, good morning.
Ooh. Morning, John. How are you?
I'm well, Mike, and you?
Good. How you doing, Joel Lloyd?
Oh, I'm doing great. Are you in mountain time? What's going on at 7:44?
Well, you know, hey? My wrench going to Pierre Maguire. I would love to play meaningful games in December. If we can go 43-20, we will have 99 points at the end of the year. So go Sens, go.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, boys.
All right. I think that's probably misplaced. Wrong Pierre. Understand the sentiment.
One thing about Pierre Dorion. Pierre Dorion is very loyal.
All right, some other wrenches at 12-1200. From the farm team. Good morning, guys. Four quick wrenches for you guys. A wrench to people wanting to fire DJ. A wrench to hot goalies we face every single night. A wrench to the players not playing hard enough. And a wrench to all these hammers of rain that we're getting today. Cheers, boys. That's from the farm team.
We got to be triceps, biceps, arceps, hard.
Hard.
That's a collective wrench, all
that's
four
a collective,
wrenches.
Yeah, that takes care of it all.
Yeah.
All
right. Triple D writes, please give me this wrench. I'm newly single. A wrench to my ex-girlfriend for being untrustworthy. Triple D. Ooh.
Am I going to go and F Croatia?
That's a tough one. Sorry about that. Yeah. Dwight in Canada. Wrench to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders for asking the Red Blacks for an interview with Paul LaPolice for their offensive coordinator position. Did they not see his results or lack thereof running the offense here in Ottawa? That's from Dwight.
I want to thank Commissioner Gary Batman.
Yes, Paul LaPolice, according to Farhan Lalji, has decided he's turned down their offer to interview for the job in Saskatchewan and says, according to Farhan, that he's not going to coach in 2023. Leads me to believe that probably going to end up staying on TV with TSN. So, there's
your
update.
Sorry, JR, or Hammer might know this. Is he off the books next year with the Red Blacks, or is he still going to get paid by the Red Blacks?
He's got one more year, I believe.
So, yeah, he's got another year of that, and he'll get some TV work. And, yeah, I can understand why he might just do the TV gig, be around his family a little bit more, because you're still getting paid.
The other part of it is, and you know, listen, I'm the last person to come to the defense of Paul LaPolice and his record here in Ottawa as head coach. It was very poor, and he had to be let go. No doubt about that. But Paul LaPolice, as an offensive coordinator, said this a million times when they hired him from Winnipeg, it was outstanding. Like, his work in Winnipeg was outstanding. I'll say again, the Grey Cup game, don't remember which one it was, would have been 2019, I guess. I guess that would have been against Hamilton. It was one of the most creative and game plans to watch from a Canadian football point of view that I've seen in a long time. Like, it was really so when he came to Ottawa and it was like, okay, that's the kind of creativity we're looking forward to here in Ottawa. We never saw it. For whatever reason, Paul LaPolice couldn't take the leap from great offensive coordinator to good head coach. Some people just can't do that, right? Some people are good assistants, not good when they're asked to run the show. And at least here in Ottawa, that most definitely was the case.
Well, it's entirely a different role, right? Like, when you're the head coach, and especially the football team, you're kind of you're the manager of the situation.
But he was also offensive coordinator.
Oh, I know he was. No, that's where I'm going with this. And I think that, and it's easy for us to say, because it did not go well, and there's a reason why he was let go. And that was his second opportunity. And there was a long time in between here to be a head coach. When that additional responsibility is on your plate, did it take away from his creative juices? I don't know. Like, it's just, it was odd how, the offense was just terrible. And that can't be all personnel related here.
Well, the personnel for his first year here in 2021 wasn't good enough. The personnel last offseason, they added a lot of pieces. Now, they lost Jeremiah Masoli, their starting quarterback. You lose your quarterback in football, that's a big blow for sure. Absolutely. But, again, this is well-trodden path we're going down again with Paul LaPolice. Yeah. But he didn't do anything to overcome that at all.
Well, like, the creative Grey Cup, was that not the Grey Cup where Streveler had the broken foot?
Yeah. Yep.
And that's part of the reason. It's like, all right, we don't have our guy at 100%. We're going to have to get creative, you know, about how this is going to work with Caleros is coming off a concussion and he just landed in here and how this is going to work. That's where he got credit, because it wasn't a perfect situation at your quarterback position. And look what he did in that moment.
Tim Baines of Post Media, by the way, talked to Sean Burke, GM of the Red Blacks. They're beginning about 2 weeks, he says. Worth of interviews, 6 and up to 10 people will be interviewed for the Red Blacks head coaching job, including interim coach Bob Dice. They expect to have the decision within a couple of weeks of who the next coach of the Red Blacks will be. That's the timing on that. Okay, 7:50. It is, as we said, a Sens game day. They're playing the Ducks this afternoon as this Texas comes in. I just heard your promo for the Sens game, Battle of the Basement. Was not expecting that when I bought my season tickets. No, absolutely. No one was expecting where we're at, but this is where we're at. Game 20 of the season for Ottawa. Game 21 for Anaheim. These two teams are right at the bottom of the standings, both with 13 points on the season. Not good. Quick update on the lineup. First of all, they have an optional practice yesterday, excuse me, in Anaheim. Thomas Chabot, again, it's going to be a game day decision whether he's going to play or not. You made a really good point, Lloydie, that he's been, you know, practicing and skating enough that maybe it's not a concussion at the end of the day that's caused this to become now a two-week injury from, you know, when you get put on IR, it's 1 week. So maybe there's something else at play here, potentially. But Thomas Chabot is a maybe for today, and no announcement on who the goalie will be. We both suspect, though, I think Forsberg's going to get the call today against the Ducks.
Yeah, like there's two things with Chabot, really. He had a concussion, no question about it. But A, he's been skating for quite some time. You're not allowed to do that if you're still having concussion symptoms. Okay, then you get into conditioning. Maybe it's a conditioning while he's been skating for quite some time here. So that would, you know, tea leaves that, leads me to believe that in addition to missing the original week with the concussion, maybe there's something else at play.
Right.
So we'll see. Hope that they need him. Like they desperately need a defenseman of that caliber back on their blue line. No question about it. That we've been over this. That the blue line's not deep enough as it is. You've got Zub back. Sanderson's been for the most part great. They need Thomas Chabot to play, and they need Thomas Chabot to play well.
For a lot of different reasons, this feels like a big weekend for DJ Smith as the head coach of the Sens. At least that's my feel on it. They've gone 0-2 on this road trip. The fans are howling right now for DJ to be removed as coach. The general manager professed his loyalty about now 8 games ago, called the next 10-game stretch pivotal. Those 10 games, 8 of them have been played. They're 2-6 with 2 games ahead of them today. Now, that's obviously a very beatable opponent. They're tied for last in the NHL with Ottawa, mind you, but Anaheim's not a very good hockey team. They have had, you know, they've been no back-to-backs. The schedule has been very friendly. This is all, we've talked about this a lot. And then, I mean, they don't even have to leave their hotel. They don't play again until Sunday night in Los Angeles against the Kings team. That's good, but we're not talking about a juggernaut. For a lot of different reasons, feels like this is a big weekend for DJ Smith. As coach of the Sens. Here he is yesterday post-practice talking about his personal responsibility about this team's slump.
My job is to win games, and I know that. You know, there is certain bits of development with Sanderson and Timmy Stutzel that still has to be involved every day, but and my job is to fix things. And if guys are hurt and guys aren't out, I got to make other guys play better. And I take full responsibility that we're not winning enough games. But in saying that, I'm not going to be negative, and I'm not going to, in turn, start pointing fingers.
There is a part of what DJ Smith had to say. You want to hear it in its entirety, it's posted to our website at tsn1200.ca. One of the things I have been critical about with DJ Smith is I don't feel like, and I listen to almost all of his media availabilities, most of them done with Gord, or Gord being a part of it, and we post them all, and I try to listen to all of them, be they post-practice, pre-game show, post-game show. DJ Smith, we hear from him a lot. And one of the things I think is that I haven't heard enough of, I feel, and whether it's just coach speak or whatever, I hadn't felt a lot of, hey, this is on me to fix, or words to that effect. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've missed it. Maybe there's been more than I've heard. But that's really the first time. And he went on a little bit another answer about, you know, taking, hey, listen, it's on me. It's the first time I heard that in detail from DJ Smith. So whether it's the realization of where we are, the fork in the road and everything and sober second thought and all that, I don't know. But that was, I thought, an interesting comment from him yesterday.
No, I listened to all that availability again yesterday as well. And you're right. I think that's the most I can recall hearing a little bit of that kind of humility coming from the coach and a little finger pointing at the cell at himself, at least saying it out loud to the media, like, because I'm sure he knows, he's known for quite some time, and everything he just said in that last soundbite is the truth. It's 100% accurate. And what he's basically saying is he could have went on and said, listen, if I can't do it, somebody else will be brought in here that they think can. He knows that. And he knows he's got to know he's very close. You know, he's day to day right now. He has to know that. It doesn't matter how much your players like you and how hard they play for you. You got to win some games. You've got to figure out a way to get this thing pointed in the other direction, like today. Like, to be a fly on the wall, JR, in the conversations with both teams. It's like that classic Spider-Man meme that they're just pointing at each other. The same, like the Ducks. All right, we got the Sens today. You say, oh, we got the Ducks today. I mean, 6-13-1 versus 6-12-1. Like, this is the Bedard Bowl today. At this point of the season, this is truly the Bedard Bowl. These are the two worst teams in the league record-wise. And they're playing this afternoon, and each team thinks they got a good chance to win a hockey game today.
Mm, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Like, it's
absolutely. This is one we have to have.
We got to beat these guys. Guys, come on. We got to beat these guys. Let's have a good effort here today. Let's stick to our system. Let's pay attention to our details. Look who we're playing today. We do the right things today. We win the hockey game.
We're walking away.
It's the same
points.
Speech.
Yep. You're absolutely right. And even if Ottawa wins today, but then ends up losing in LA, I think when the team gets back, outside of two wins this weekend, I think very much, as my own personal thought, this is no insight from anybody, this is JR, Ottawa, Canada speaking, that I think despite the professed loyalty of the general manager, and I think he has proven to be more than loyal so far, has been a terrible start to the season for Ottawa. That the future of the coach, I think, it's fair to say it's in question. And two losses this weekend, I believe, will seal the deal. By the way, I want to say this, because I understand. Listen, if you're a fan of the team, I never want to speak to or go against your passion or whatever. I understand all that part of it. That's part of the great part about being a fan and being in the middle of the mix and everything. And I understand that people are grumpy about DJ Smith and that people want a new coach. I get all that part of it. But part of what I read on social media is just so over the top. Like, I just for me.
That's social media in general. The
I know.
It's stupid.
It gets
over the top.
But it's like, and I'm not coming to the defense of DJ Smith, okay? He hasn't done a good enough job as coach of the Sens. But, man alive, I think sometimes we forget that people are human beings, you know? I know they coach your favorite hockey team, but they're human beings at the end of the day, right? And I just try to put myself, when I try not to be over the top about stuff like that, I try to put myself in the shoes of, you know, whatever your job is, would you want people to come into your office or your construction site or whatever and scream at you to be fired and how you'd kind of feel about it? I understand. You want to talk about the fact he hasn't done a good enough job and all that? Absolutely. I'm here all day for that. It's just, some of it is just so, like, it's like, yep. It's being celebrated. It's being celebrated. That's just so far over the top. That's the part I don't understand. That's the part that I think we forget about the human being aspect of things. Maybe I'm getting soft in my old age.
No, you're not wrong. We've talked about it a lot, and we had the same LaPolice conversation when that was going on. I can have the opinion. I think the coach is going to lose his job here in the near future. I really do, because I just don't. There's nothing about this team right now that tells me that they're really going to turn it around and arrow up Rick Campbell right now. So if this continues, this is pro sports. This is what happens. DJ Smith just said so in his comments. He's going to lose his job. DJ Smith, the guy right now, I got no problem with DJ Smith. His players like him. I think that's sincere. I don't think that's lip service. He does connect at a personal level with his players. But who cares if you don't win? This is the NHL. This is professional sports. This is how this works. But to go beyond having the opinion that the coach probably will lose his job and do the dancing on the grave BS that we see, like on, and I get it, you're a fan and you get emotional as a fan, But you're right. It's it can be a little much at times.
It's just I don't know. I just I've you know everybody we get a million texts. Obviously, can't get to all of them. And some of them are respectful and come with a good opinion and a good, strong opinion. And I don't want that guy to be the coach of my favorite hockey team. And I got all kinds of, and these are the reasons. I got all day for all of that. And I agree with most of it. The dancing on the graveyard, as you put it, or wherever you want to put it, that's the part that just, the human part that I think we sort of lose perspective here from time to time. Maybe it's Friday. JR Soft. Don't know. Anyway, I do think it's a big weekend for DJ Smith. I absolutely do. It's minimum one and probably minimum two games. Otherwise, these conversations early part of next week could be completely different. And last part for me on this, DJ Smith knows this more than anybody. He's had a different tone, and maybe it's because he's out of answers. The questions have become the same. The answers, there's only so many ways you can answer the same questions. I get that. It's now, as it always has been, it's a results-oriented business. Results haven't been there. If the results don't change, and quickly, he knows that it's probably going to be the end. Sens and Ducks this afternoon, 3 o'clock, 1 o'clock pregame show. Gord Wilson will join us live from Anaheim after 10 o'clock. We'll take a top-of-the-hour news and sports update and come back. Dave Poulin is our TSN hockey insider. We'll chat with him next, right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.